just, I don't know, a handful of days ago, I was in Woodstock and I'm walking down the street and I go into the Golden Notebook bookstore. And I walk in and I just this warm embrace of books and great people. And it's a most lovely experience. And I just felt at home. So I want to give you that feeling this morning. We welcome Jackie Callahan of the Golden Notebook here with our book picks for this week. So if you can't go to the bookstore right this moment, the bookstore can come to you and tell you some great stuff that's happening at the bookstore. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you
very much. And the store looks great.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's just really fun to walk and browse, and I find new things, and you display everything lovely. It's really nice to see a store like that and see it thrive and do so well.
Thank you.
Where would you like to begin? You have a lot of good stuff.
This is the time of year when the bookstore is just busting
with
new titles. And it's overwhelming and also so much fun. There are so many great, amazing books. I am going to start with a book that actually came out in September. And it's a memoir. It's by Elizabeth Lesser. It's called Marrow, A Love Story. And this is a book about Elizabeth Lesser and her sister, one of her sisters. And her sister has been diagnosed with cancer, a terrible cancer. And the only chance that she has for living longer and for survival is to get a bone marrow transplant. And it turns out that the best match is her sister, Elizabeth. And in order for the transplant to take, Elizabeth has this idea that she and her sister sort of come to terms with each other as honestly as possible, as authentically as possible. And they go through a series of conversations and letters, and they have a therapy session together. And in the process, try and be as authentic with each other as possible so that the transplant takes, so that the part of Elizabeth that becomes a part of her sister will work. And on one level, this book is like a tearjerker because you know, it doesn't have a happy ending. Her sister dies, right? It's a book about having a good death. It's a book that's about the process of death. And it's a book that's about just like living your life authentically. And I think that if you're the kind of person who this is the last kind of book that you want to read, you should push that aside and pick it up, because this is a book that helps you learn about yourself. And it's an amazing book.
It is an amazing book, and we did a book show with Elizabeth Lesser, which you can find online on our book show page. But, you know, that relationship was somewhat distant with her sister.
And this
brought them very close together. And as you say, that last year was so special and meaningful. And I believe at one point her sister says, "This is the best year of my life."
She does say that, even though
she is dying at that point. So it's a beautiful book, and it's told in a lovely, lovely manner.
It really is.
What is next?
Next book, which I'm going to have difficulty pronouncing the title, comes out today. It's by Elena Ferrante, and it's called Frantumaglia.
Okay.
A writer's journey. This is not a work of fiction, strictly. It's nonfiction, supposedly. And this is Elena Ferrante responding to letters from her fans. It's her correspondence with her publisher. It's ostensibly giving more of a picture of the biographical details of her life. And quite famously, I suppose it was about a month ago, it seems about a year ago, but about a month ago, a journalist revealed who Elena Ferrante really was, her real name, who she was, a translator living in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And this caused great disruption, because I think a lot of people, a lot of Elena Ferrante fans, respected her desire to be anonymous and the freedom that it gave her to produce her books, to produce her quartet of books that has been so successful here in the U.S. as well as in Europe. And anyway, I think that this book is an interesting exploration of why she chose to write under a pseudonym, what that gives her, and how that frees her up to have a certain kind of dialogue with her fans. This is a book. This is a kind of a writer's book. It's a book that is about process. It's a book for fans of Elena Ferrante, and it's terrific. So, Ferrante fever starts today.
Excellent. The fever has begun. Next.
The next book, I think I'm going to jump to fiction really quickly. The next book came out a few weeks ago, and it's called The Fall Guy, and it's by James Lasden, mm-hmm. who is a wonderful poet. He's a journalist. He's a reviewer. He writes for The New Yorker, and he's also a novelist, and he's also a memoirist. He had a terrific memoir that came out a few years ago.
Sure
but
is.
This is a work of fiction, and it's a thriller, and it's about two cousins who are British. They live in the U.S. One has become a fairly successful investment banker, married. The other is a chef who's down on his luck and has fallen on hard times, and his restaurant is closed. And the wealthier cousin invites the poorer cousin up to his house for the summer to kind of regroup and, you know, find a new direction in his life. And the cousin is sharing the space with the wife of his investment banker, cousin, and I'm saying the word cousin a little bit too much. And he definitely has a lot of strong feelings for the wife. And he is not really sure what to do with them, but they're all coexisting happily, and then suddenly a fourth person enters the picture. And the cousin, who has a lot of time on his hands because he is trying to figure out what to do, becomes a little obsessed and suspects that maybe there's an affair happening on the side. And this sets in a motion of events that ultimately have terrible consequences for all the characters involved. I think, like a lot of poets who are also novelists, there's a wonderful precision and beauty in the language, and it is not your typical thriller with all the bells and whistles that feel a little focus group tested, you know?
Right.
It's a really, really evocative, wonderful book. It's set in the Catskill Mountains, and it's The Fall Guy by James Lasden.
Excellent. I just started reading that, so I look forward to finishing it. Good stuff.
Yeah, it is. A book that I just read the first page of, but I haven't.
But you knew from the first page you were going to love it.
Francine Prose has written, I think, something like 20 books.
Oh, she's amazing.
And my first book that I read of hers was just her last book, The Lovers at the Chameleon Club, which I adored.
It's a beautiful
so
book.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And this book came out about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, Mr. Monkey by Francine Prose. And I am dying to read it, and I have not gotten a chance. But I'm just going to say, readers, please go into your local bookstore, pick up this groovy book, and just start reading. It's gotten amazing reviews everywhere.
Mr. Monkey by Francine Prose, and a lives down your way, and a wonderful author.
A
so great stuff.
Another book that I don't have here that actually comes out in about 2 weeks is by Zadie Smith, and it's called Swing Time.
Yeah.
Oh, I read it, and it's really so good.
Isn't it
great? It's so cool, so deftly done, and it's the story of two girls growing up in council housing in London, and they're both obsessed with dance, and one actually can dance, and the other one can't dance, but really appreciates it. And the book is about their relationship. It's about their interracial backgrounds. It's about their careers growing up. It's about, especially the narrator's complicated and interesting mother who becomes a successful politician, and her father who sort of fades away. It's about colonialism. It's about being alienated from one society. And it's just telling the real story of Black women growing up in London in our time. The structure of the book is amazing, I think, the way that she chops it up. It keeps you like going and going and going.
Absolutely.
For like a big reveal that is really just her life, you know? It's such a good book. So
beautiful.
Keep
stuff.
Your eyes open for that one.
Yes, absolutely. Next.
So many wonderful children's books, you know, falling out of the sky. This one actually is from February, from some Hudson Valley residents, Lisa Klein Ransom and James Ransom, Just a Lucky So-and-So, The Story of Louis Armstrong. When I was younger, I could not get enough biographies. Like when I was 7, 8, 9, I was just like
too.
A biography hound. And I do love that there's so many wonderful picture book biographies. And this is one that's really for 7 or 8 year olds. You know, you could read it aloud. It's so beautifully illustrated. And it's by Satchel Mouth, Satchmo, Louis Armstrong. And it has great sketches of what his life are in a big way in the book. And then at the end of the book, a lot of amazing resources if you want to go deeper with your kid on Louis Armstrong, which isn't hard to do.
That's great.
Thankfully.
Stuff. Wonderful.
Another great new book that has just come out by a wonderful Hudson Valley author also is a book by Julie Fogliano, and it's called Old Dog Baby Baby. And it's just a book for your baby. It's a poem. It's a book about a dog and a baby and how they interact.
Not so kind of a board book kind of thing?
You know what? I see it as a board book, but it's just come out as a hardcover.
As a hardcover. Cool. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Excellent. Yep. Good stuff.
Really good stuff. For those of you who have been dying for a Calvin Trillin children's book, your wait is over. This is called No Fair, No Fair and Other Jolly Poems of Childhood. And the poems are by Calvin Trillin and the pictures are by Roz Chass.
Oh, and I want to be that book.
I know. It's so great. And there's, you know, I'm just going to show you a page of a poem. It's just called The Back Seat.
Yes.
And you do know already what this poem is about, right? The back seat is a space we always share, which should mean half and half. That's only fair. Imagine, then, a line down the middle, a line with which we've promised not to fiddle. Anyway, you get the idea of just like you and your siblings in the back of a car trying to incur on each other's territory.
No, seriously, if I come back as a book, I want it to be that one. I want to have been written by Calvin Trillin and drawn by Roz Chass.
It makes me feel like I do wish that Calvin Trillin did more children's books, because I feel like there's a lot of Roald Dahl in sort of his, you know.
Well, and his poetry is wonderful. He does for the nation. What is he, Poet on Deadline or something?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Excellent.
So we're creeping up on the holiday time, and there's so many kinds of big books that are coming out that you can gift to your favorites. So two cookbooks quickly that I am kind of dying to own is Red Rooster Harlem, the cookbook, The Story of Food and Hustle in Harlem. And it's by Marcus Samuelson, who is the chef and owner there. And he's written a few cookbooks that are amazing. But this is really trying to give a sense of the community that his restaurant is in, the stories of the people that work and perform there, and the recipes. And I'm just going to read you the title of one recipe, which is kind of literary. And it's called Fried Liver and Onions with Mustard Pickled Melon for Maya Angelou.
Oh, wow.
He says the reason that he moved to Harlem was because of Maya Angelou, and owns a house a few doors down from hers. And the recipes are amazing in this book. And it's a wonderful book. Another really cool cookbook is Anthony Bourdain's Appetites, a cookbook. And these are just recipes that now that he's a father, he has an 8-year-old, this is just what he cooks for his family. You know, roast beef po' boy, grilled cheese sandwiches with caramelized onions. They're not so tough, these recipes, and they're really, really good. So,
Cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering who did the artwork, because it looks like Ralph Steadman.
It does look like Ralph Steadman, doesn't it?
It is Ralph Steadman.
It is Ralph Steadman.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go. Excellent.
Yeah.
Next.
Let's see. I don't know. Gene Wilder loved him so much, right?
Yes.
And the sweetest person in the world, also Mel Brooks. And one of the things I so wanted to do a few weeks ago and couldn't was go to the special screening of Young Frankenstein.
No, I didn't
at
get
Radio
to
City
it either.
Musical,
I know.
Where Mel Brooks was, you know, talking. And anyway, he has this beautiful sort of love letter to Young Frankenstein that has just come out, of course, for Halloween. We had it in our window. And it's just filled with sweet little anecdotes, you know, and he talks about how when they were filming Blazing Saddles, Gene Wilder sitting in the sheriff's chair with his legs up in the desk, his cowboy hat and boots, and he has a yellow legal pad, and he was writing, and Mel Brooks looks at the top of the legal pad and says to Gene, "What does that say up there?" And Gene Wilder says, "Young Frankenstein." And Mel Brooks says, "What the hell is that?" Gene Brooks says, "I have an idea for a movie about Baron Frankenstein's grandson, and it's a sort of a fully formed idea in Gene Wilder's head already." And anyway, the book goes on, but it's filled with wonderful pictures and stories, and you really, really, really must get this book for the Gene Wilder or Mel Brooks lover in your life.
Yeah, in that book, which I love. Yeah. Sometimes it's a little padded, but it's a lovely book, and it's certainly necessary for any fan. But there is that great, when you're talking about the legal pad, and you say fully formed, he had on that piece of paper, Young Frankenstein, a story in black and white.
Yes.
You know, it was in black and white. He knew that from the moment, it's great. And Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein were done in the same year, and that duality of the two and the creative work between the two of Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks is fascinating to read about. So great stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. Another photo book that just came out, and we're actually doing an event for this Sunday at the store, is called The Borscht Belt, Revisiting the Remains of America's Jewish Vacation Land. And on the cover is a picture of a lounge chair. And you could see that it's in what was once an indoor pool that's now been overtaken by weeds and moss. And it's in the Borscht Belt, in the Catskills, at one of the old resorts. And these are just pictures of the decayed resorts, and they're beautiful and interesting. And
what is that called? Urban? What is that type of?
Yeah, that kind of like, I don't, in the case of these
like
places.
Like urban decay or something like that, of I forget what they call that type of work that's done. And she's been a guest on our program when she had an exhibit of these photographs. And it's a beautiful, she does beautiful work of these resorts, and obviously gives you some wonderful history as well into the places, whether it's the Concord or Kutcher's or.
Yes, it's all those places. I don't know what it's called either.
Yeah. I've heard the term, and now I don't remember what it is. But it's popular, and I love it.
I love it, too.
Good stuff. All right, what else? I've been saying that a lot this morning, but it is all good.
It is all good. Let's see. One book, I think another bookseller mentioned it already, but I'm just going
to
talk about it for the book lover in your life, is that there's this really sweet book called Postcards, Footnotes from the World's Greatest Bookstore by Bob Eckstein. He's a New Yorker cartoonist.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Matt Tannenbaum, who's featured in the book, actually. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's mentioned that.
Yeah. And our bookstore's in the book, too, which was like, wow, we couldn't believe it. And we have an anecdote from our store in it. But it's a really beautiful book. And Bob Eckstein has done all these incredible watercolors of books all over the world and has stories that, you know, represent each of the stores and make you want to kind of armchair travel to them across the world. I know that's what I would like to do.
Absolutely. Quick thank you to our wonderful producer, Sarah LaDuke, who says it's Urban Exploration, Urbex.
Urbex?
Urban Exploration. So
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, good stuff there, too. Jackie Callahan is the proprietor of the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, and you can go see the store at 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. You can also check them out online, goldennotebook.com. You can see the list there or go to our website to see it, wamc.org/roundtable. Jackie, wonderful to see you. Thank you so much for
being
with us.
Thank you so much.
Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.